Hello and welcome to Lewis Nidas Law and the Lewis Nidas podcast. I'm your host, Holly Sonnabend, and today we'll be talking to Naziana Ayed, a property and wills, trusts and probate specialist lawyer here at Lewis Nidas. Naziana specialises in commercial and residential property, working on a broad range of transactions across all disciplines. She acts on the purchase and sale of investment properties, portfolio restructuring and financing, as well as general landlord and tenant transactions for commercial retail clients. She also advises on landlord and tenant law, in particular business tenancies and the new changes to the Landlord and Tenant Act 1954. Naziana has recently been involved in major commercial disposals in the West End and the City. She has also been engaged to deal with retail and various restaurant acquisitions in London and across the country. She has a broad real estate practice acting for both domestic and international investors into UK real estate for a number of years now. She has helped clients build successful real estate portfolios, particularly in London's West End. Naziana has acted on both direct and corporate wrapper transactions and several portfolio deals. She has a wide experience across asset classes, having acted on retail, restaurants, offices, industrial and residential. Naziana, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Holly.
Authorised guarantee agreements have been the subject of much commentary in the last few years, principally because of decisions in Good Harvest Partnership, LLP, and KS Victoria Street versus House of Fraser Stores Management Limited. What are your feelings on this?
The interest generated by those cases is an indication of the complexities and uncertainties surrounding Section 16 of the Landlord and Tenant Covenants Act 1995. It is this section that governs the creation, content, and validity of an authorised guarantee agreement, in other words, AGA, that we use in the commercial property world. The 1995 Act introduced a new leasehold regime. Original tenant liability was abolished, and in most cases to which the Act applies, a tenant would be released from all future liability when it assigns a lease. Landlords were offered some comfort by Section 16 of the Act, provided that certain circumstances have arisen and certain requirements are complied with, an outgoing tenant can guarantee its immediate assignee by means of the AGA. It is important, however, to appreciate that an AGA is a statutory creation by law and an exception to the regime introduced by the 1995 Act. The Act contains powerful anti-avoidance provision to stop parties negotiating around its term. In practice, this means that if a landlord wants an outgoing tenant to guarantee its immediate assignee, it has to ensure that the guarantee complies with the requirements of an AGA. It will be void to the extent that it does not do so. So in theory, it is fine, but in practice, there are a number of uncertainties which arise.
Can a lease require an AGA where a landlord's consent to assign is unnecessary or automatic?
The answer is no. In order to qualify as an AGA, a guarantee must be entered into in the circumstances that are set out in Section 16(3) of the Landlord and Tenant Acts, Landlord and Tenant Covenants Act 1995. These include both that consent to assignment is required, but that in itself is a condition of the consent that the tenant enters into an AGA. It does not matter if the alienation covenant is qualified or absolute, since consent is required in either case.
Can an AGA require an outgoing tenant to be liable for any future AGA given by its assignee?
The answer is no. The 1995 Act states that an agreement is not an AGA to the extent that it attempts to impose on the outgoing tenant any liability in relation to any time after the assignee is released from the tenant liability by virtue of the 1995 Act. This will generally happen when the lease is assigned.
Can an AGA require an outgoing tenant to be liable for any future AGA given by its assignee?
That's a very good question, yes. But whether it will do so is a matter of drafting. Again, it is a point of law. So where a lease has the protection of the Section 25 to 28 of the Landlord and Tenant Act 1954, which gives a tenant a right to renew, it will be continued by statute after the end of the contractual term. So the 1995 Act would not prevent a valid AGA continuing to have effect during any period of the holding over. The assignee in respect of whom the AGA has been given will continue to be liable, and so the AGA can continue in effect.
Where there has been an excluded assignment, from whom can the landlord require an AGA?
Under the 1995 Act, an excluded assignment basically is an assignment in breach of covenant or by operation of law. So where an excluded assignment takes place, the Act provides that the former tenant or the outgoing tenant will not be released from liability until the next non-exclusive assignment takes place. So in other words, what effectively needs to happen is for the existing tenant to be released completely from NAGA, there must be a non-exclusive assignment by the incoming tenant. At that point, both the assigning tenant and the former tenant will be released, and the landlord may require both of them to enter into a NAGA in relation to the new assignee, meaning any new tenant.
Can a NAGA require an outgoing tenant to enter into a new lease if the lease it assigns is forfeited?
That's a very good question. This is a moot point. So the 1995 Act is clear that NAGA can require an outgoing tenant to take up a new lease if the lease that it assigns is disclaimed, but it does not talk about forfeiture, really. So standard lease guarantees will normally require a guarantor to take up a new lease on disclaimer or forfeiture, and similar wording is frequently included in NAGA. A landlord will understandably want to obtain as much security as possible from an NAGA. Obviously, the landlord will want all protection just in case the incoming tenant is not credible enough. So in this case, an outgoing tenant may be more unwilling to take the risk. This point has yet to be decided by the courts. These examples all serve to illustrate that although NAGAs are in everyday use frequently, they are not clearly understood or properly used. When in doubt, parties should be guided by the 1995 Act in all cases and hope that it clarifies their position. It does not always do so, though.
Naziana, thank you so much for your time. Where can people contact you with potential inquiries?
Of course, yeah, they can reach me by telephone, email, or I am on the firm's website as well as on LinkedIn.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Holly.
That's all from the Lewis Nidas podcast today. You can find us at Lewis Nidas Law on Twitter and at lewisnidas.co.uk. Thank you for listening.